This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Corey Majors, Kevin Hagelin, Mike Bassick, and Shippy Fun Sports. You can follow him on Twitter and Instagram, where he puts good pictures of him behind the boards over there doing awesome work. Thanks, Shippy, for being here today. And on the line with us right now, live from the NFL Scouting Combine, running his 40 at the moment, is David Hellman from DallasCowboys.com. Hello, David. How's it going?
What's up, my guys? How's it going?
We're doing well.
Hey, if you – no, I am doing well, but I did want to know, if you ran the 40, do you have an idea what your time would be?
Not really, but I'm very comfortable saying it would not be very impressive. If I could get in under 6, I'd be pretty thrilled with that. But, you know, I don't really plan on trying because if I did, I'm sure it would wind up on the internet, and that's just not something that I want to happen. So I'm going to let the professional athletes do it instead.
What if I was sponsoring it for your favorite charity?
Rich Eisen does that, and he does a way better job. And he's actually, you know, he's gotten pretty good at it over the years. So, I think I'm okay.
Hellman turning down charity.
Wow, he could have raised money for everybody.
Classic Mariners.
Actually,
fan.
Didn't you raise a bunch of money by going to the championship game for LSU?
Yeah.
Sort of. I don't want to make it sound like I'm actually a good person. My friend started a GoFundMe as a gag so I could buy a ticket to the LSU-Clemson game. And for some reason, people actually gave us $1,500, and I'm not a total piece of crap. So, you know, I felt really uncomfortable using that for my own gain, so we donated it to a few causes. So, yeah, it worked out really well.
There you go.
I was proud of you for that.
Yeah, we all were.
Thank you,
Dave. We're really proud of you for everything that you've done.
You gave it to Odell Beckham Jr. to hand out to the players after the game. Was that the cause?
Exactly.
Okay.
You're on to me.
Thank you.
All right, so what I know you've been tweeting a lot about all the tight ends, and you're not necessarily one that's like, hey, let's get a tight end, but – is there a feeling that the Cowboys have an interest in adding at that position?
It's funny. I was joking about this the other day. Is like that's like the big thing that everybody has to try to find out at the combine is, you know, who are these guys meeting with? And like part of me rolls my eyes because like NFL teams do their due diligence on everyone. Like these personnel departments have a lot of resources and look at a lot of players. So, you know, who they meet with for 15 minutes at the hotel in Indianapolis doesn't necessarily mean anything. But at the same time, they only get 45 of these interviews. That's actually a new change to the combine this year. They used to get 60. Now it's only 45. There's 337 players here. So it is at least a little bit indicative of where their interests lie when they start bringing these guys in for these official interviews. And from the sounds of it, they've met with at least a handful of tight ends. Defensive tackle is another one. The defensive backs have not spoken yet, but I guarantee you when we get to talk to them, we're going to hear that they've heard from the Cowboys as well. So it doesn't mean everything, but, yeah, they've been talking to tight ends, and I think that makes a lot of sense with where they are with the depth chart right now.
Okay, so I should not – because when I hear that, I think how many other, like, more immediate – spots on the team I would want to take care of, but I shouldn't assume just because they're talking to tight ends, that means the time for Jarwin to shine will never be?
I mean, I think Blake Jarwin is in this team's long-term plans. He's a restricted free agent, which means, you know, if the Cowboys want to keep him, it's very easy for them to do so. I think he'll be here in 2020. It's probably too soon to say, but I think there's a lot of writing on the wall that Jason Witten is not coming back, and so, you know, where do you add to the depth chart? I think you do that in the draft. It doesn't mean it would have to be a first-round pick. In fact, I don't think there's a tight end in this draft that's worth a first-round pick. But, you know, talking, you know, day three, fourth round, fifth round, maybe third round, depending on how much you like the guy. Like I said, that's the thing is these teams do due diligence. So if they're talking to six tight ends out of 45 interviews, that doesn't mean they're going to use their first pick on a tight end, but it's definitely a position they're interested in addressing.
Can you kind of give me an idea? Because I heard a comparison about Darren Woodson to Isaiah Simmons. Is that a good comparison, or is he a different type of athlete altogether?
I get where the comparison comes from because Winnie was so versatile. You know, he's a safety in name, but he could move down in the box. He could play a little bit in the nickel. Kind of did a little bit of everything. And yeah, I mean that's definitely the thumbnail on Isaiah Simmons. I mean, somebody asked me this morning, like, where would you play him? What position would you put him at? And I'm like, I don't think you're thinking about this the right way because he can do a little bit of everything. I think, you know, he's listed as a linebacker, but he can play safety. He can move into the slot. He can play down in the box. He's a Swiss Army knife. To use a little bit more modern of a comparison than Darren Woodson, his ability reminds me a lot of Tyrann Mathieu in the sense that you can line him up all over the back seven. And that's probably why he's going to get drafted way before the Cowboys come up on the clock, unfortunately.
Oh, man. So that's the guy, Kevin, right there. That's a dude to love. What about Javon Kinlaw? I was telling Kevin yesterday that you could probably put David Hellman in Javon Kinlaw's pocket if he really wanted to.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. He's could say he's a foot taller than me and, like, exaggerate. No, I mean, and granted, I am very short, but he is a full 6'6". 320. His hands are like 11 inches wide. He's an absolute monster. If you watch the tape of him, he could play anywhere on a defensive front. The big thing with him is, you know, he's had a little bit of a recurring knee problem. So I think teams are interested in finding out about that, but we're well into the combine and I haven't heard any red flags about that, which is it's a good sign for Kinlaw. The problem is, again, like, if everything checks out with him, that's another guy that, you know, I would be surprised if he's sitting there when the Cowboys draft, but he's definitely one of the best defensive tackles in this class.
So the only way he would realistically probably make his way towards 17 is if they're like, oh yeah, that could be a persistent knee problem.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and it's going to depend on how teams feel about him. Every guy here comes with concerns. There's, you know, people have questioned his down-to-down motor. I feel like that's a concern for every college defensive lineman. There aren't very many that play with that NFL-level motor. But if everything checks out with him from a health standpoint, I would be fairly surprised if he's available at 17.
Kevin asked earlier, and somebody is asking right now, what's your Wonderlic score? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I've never taken it, but I think I would do really well. Why? Was a good test. I was a bad student, but a good test taker. And I think I could handle myself, but I've never actually taken it before.
Do you get the sense? Cause we talked about that used to be like the big thing. Whenever the quarterback Wonderlic scores came out, people were like, oh, what's this going to do to his draft status and blah, 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 blah. Do you feel like that particularly matters anymore?
I was going to say that when you brought it up, like it really feels like it has taken a back seat. And it's a cool thing to see. Like, obviously the combine has become like this spectacle, and as the years have gone on, it's changed in the sense of what people value. You know, they changed like 15 of the drills this year. I think some of the old standbys like the bench press are going to go away here in the near future because teams realize like that stuff doesn't necessarily matter. I think the Wonderlic is part of that too. I mean, you can use it as a piece of the puzzle for somebody's decision making skills, but like the days of Wonderlic scores leaking and people being down on quarterbacks because they're perceived as stupid, it just doesn't – I think teams realize that it's not necessarily indicative of how you perform on the field.
One thing that does seem to matter a lot is the general interview process, though. Do you still get the sense, though, that, like, if nothing else, the medicals and the interviews, that's really what these teams are all here for?
I think the medical is the most important part. Okay. I think that's what gets lost, you know, when you talk about the combine. Like, the reason that teams come here and the reason why it fits so well in Indy is because Lucas Oil Stadium and the Indiana Convention Center are surrounded by downtown local hospitals, and it makes it really easy for the league to process these 300 players through all of the medical evaluations. I don't know if you saw it a couple days ago. Tua Tagovailoa, he was in the hospital going through all these evaluations for literally 12 hours. That's how thoroughly these teams look at these guys to make sure. I mean, you know, you're investing a 4 or 5 year contract that's worth, you know, as much as like $20 million on these guys. You want to make sure they're going to be able to play for you. So that's the most important. That's the most important part. But the interviews are definitely huge. Like I said, it's easy to roll your eyes at them. But I think back to when the Cowboys drafted Dak Prescott. Like, they were hunting quarterbacks that year. They interviewed every single quarterback that came to the combine. They brought them all to their facility, and they ultimately settled on Dak. So you can kind of get an idea of where they're trying to go based on who they're talking to.
Interviews and obviously 40 times to figure out who the best athlete is. That's how you figure it out, Kevin.
Okay.
Who's going to be the Hall of Famer out of the bunches based on the 40 times, Mike? Who's generating like the most buzz just amongst everybody out there? Is it Burrow, or is there somebody else that's like, man, everybody wants to see what this guy's doing?
Well, it's honestly annoying. You know, the NFL is trying to turn this into yet another primetime spectacle. So, like, it's Thursday afternoon, and not a single person has worked out. That's going to start here in a few hours. The first groups are going to start working out. So, you know, I've been here since Monday, and not a single, you know, real workout has been done. As far as the interview process goes, I mean, quarterbacks are always going to take center stage. Between his personality and his recovery from his hip injury, I think Tua Tagovailoa has really taken center stage. I'm trying to think, you know, when these guys finally start working out, when you start seeing some of these numbers, you know, people are whispering that Henry Ruggs, the receiver from Alabama, might break the combine 40 record. Mm-hmm. Like, when that stuff starts happening, there's going to be some narrative changes. It's really annoying that we're 5 days into it and it hasn't started happening yet.
Do you feel like you have more free time at the combine because you're not having to take Brian Broaddus's work and then, have to rewrite it to make sure that it looks great?
Yes, absolutely. I love throwing to death. He is fantastic company at the combine, but he's a bad writer, and that's 45 minutes to an hour of my day that I don't spend parsing through his scout speak. So I wish he was here, but I definitely don't miss that.
I'm also kind of curious as to, you know, because Mike McCarthy talked yesterday and some of the things he said, what was the biggest takeaway that you were kind of surprised by that you haven't heard Steven or Jerry talk about? Because one of the things that kind of caught my ear was he kept talking about wanting to have a veteran team. It, along with the rookie class, but it sounded like he's very interested in having a lot of veterans on this squad.
Yeah, you're not the first person that's mentioned that to me, but, like, I don't take that to mean that Mike McCarthy's trying to change the roster. Like, look around, and, I mean, this is a veteran team. I mean, your offensive line is populated by guys that are, you know, multi-time Pro Bowlers that have been in the league for 8, 7, 6, 5 years. You know, DeMarcus Lawrence, it doesn't feel like it, but he's like a 6, 7 year veteran. Dak Prescott's up for contract renewal because he's been here for 4 years. That, you know, that 2016 draft class that was so good, those guys are on their second contracts or are negotiating for them. So I'm not under the impression that Mike McCarthy's trying to add all these old players. I just think he knows there's a lot of veteran talent there. I think, honestly, it's a small thing. But, like, the one thing that jumped out to me yesterday was, man, Mike McCarthy keeps talking about Randall Cobb, which, like, you know, on the list of free agents, Randall Cobb, I mean, he had a good season last year, but obviously when you've got Dak and you've got Amari and Byron Jones and all these other players that need deals, it's easy to lose Randall Cobb in the shuffle. But talking to Mike McCarthy for 45 minutes yesterday, I was like, oh, man, this guy really wants to re-sign Randall Cobb. So that kind of opened my eyes a little bit.
And on his approach to the draft, does it sound like he has a specific position that he's really interested in, or does he sound like he's just like, just give me the guys? Because I remember Al Harris saying, just give me the guys, I'll put them in the room together, and we'll get after it. Does he want just a really good football player, or does he want something that's just like, hey, this is the position that we need to make this a successful draft?
That's going to be the storyline, you know, for those of us that really follow the draft. That's what's going to dominate this spring. And McCarthy had a really great quote yesterday that was something along the lines of, you know, you can't afford to throw away good football players because they don't fit your system. And if that's what you're doing, you need to reevaluate your system. I think that resonated with a lot of Cowboy fans because for so many years, it felt like at times that's what the Cowboys were doing in their with their draft picks. You know, you can go back to the Taco Charlton pick, or even last year with the Tristan Hill pick, picking guys that seemed like they fit your system, even if they weren't the best possible option at the pick. And, you know, actions speak louder than words. I actually want to see how this draft cycle plays out. But if McCarthy's committed to that, I think it could be huge for the way that they look at their draft board. And, you know, like I said, you look at who they're interviewing. They're talking to tight ends. They're talking to defensive tackles. We haven't talked to the defensive backs, but I guarantee you that they're going to have meetings with a lot of defensive backs. So hopefully that'll reflect in them getting not just guys they need, but the best possible options at those positions.
Well, we appreciate you jumping on with us, and I'm glad you finally get to see a little bit more stuff happening today.
Yeah, hopefully it's actually going to pick up here this afternoon, and we can have some, well, I don't want to call it football, but we'll at least have some, like, physical activity to report on, so it should be fun.
Well, thanks, if all guys. Else fails, just have Brada send you a story that he wrote, and you can fill your time with that.
No, I'm not going to do that. Those days are over, and he can... Yeah, like that. Yeah, that's y'all's thing now. He's with y'all, and y'all can dig through that if you want to. Good luck.
Wow! Later, man.
Later, y'all.
Bye, Dave.
He hates Broadus so much.
He loves Broadus. He just doesn't love Broadus's writing.
Ah, okay. Gotcha. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, John Daniels speaks, and we also break down the opening day starter. All of that next right here on The Fan.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, I got a big question for you. Who should be the opening day starter, and when do you start addressing that? 877-881-1053. But first, let's talk a little bit about what John Daniels has said, because I thought John Daniels was fascinating with Sean and RJ, Mike. I'm curious, did you find him? He seemed as engaging as I've heard him in quite some time too.
Yeah, I thought it was a great interview, two-part series, part of it yesterday, part of it today with Sean and RJ, and just he's excited and optimistic about this season, and you probably have to be as a general manager. I don't think you'd want to come on with your first interview in spring training and be like,
suck.
Don't really know this is going to be a good year. So
that would be amazing, though, if that's what happened.
It is. It did make me feel a little bit better about this upcoming season, but that's the trap we fall in different sports. I mean, it's what we fall into in Oxnard because it's the only team we're watching and they're practicing against each other. Something positive is going to happen on this play. Either the defense is going to do something good or the offense. It just kind of gets you feeling like, hey, I think we're going to be really good. Did you see the defense? Don't mind that the offense was the one throwing the ball to them right there. But
the other thing too that, and I know we don't have a cut of this, but he did kind of suggest, look, some things didn't work out for us, but I think we're just kind of cracking open what free agency and what this roster building is going to be for, I guess, what would be his 5-year plan, Kevin.
Yeah.
And that made it seem more exciting to me too, because it does seem like they have hopes. They want to make sure they do it right, and they don't want to screw it all up by just putting all their eggs in one basket. So, Kevin, hopefully you'll get over that, because I know personally you're kind of sick and tired of it. But you'd never say that to JD's face, would you?
Oh, no, absolutely I would.
Okay, all right. I want to see if that happens next week whenever we talk with JD.
Done.
All right, Mike. So there are a couple things, though, and I wanted to get to cut 16 real quick, because one of the big questions for us is I'm maybe most excited in DFW for Corey Kluber being here. I might be the most excited person.
Because his name is Corey?
Mostly, yes.
Okay.
Kevin's skeptical.
And he's from here,
and he's,
kind of.
He's been really effing good. Like, he was a Cy Young winner. He was third, Kevin, or Mike?
So in 2017, he won the Cy Young, and in 2018, he was third in Cy Young voting. So last year, he threw 34 innings, but the 2 years prior, he finished third and first in Cy Young in the American League.
We haven't had that quality since Hamels and Cliff Lee. Like, that, those are the two best pitchers I think we've ever had, aside from Nolan Ryan, who's the greatest pitcher ever.
And he's, well, that's silly.
But
he's reached bigger heights than both of them.
Yeah, but Corey Kluber, you know, obviously coming off the injury, how are they going to handle Corey Kluber this season?
I think with all these guys, the starters that have thrown a bunch of innings the last few years, we're taking it slow here in camp. They're not pitching the first time through the rotation. I don't think they need to. Some of them will end up getting a game on the backfield. But, you know, based on what we've seen and kind of the different checks that we're doing from a medical standpoint, strength and conditioning standpoint, I mean, we haven't seen anything that's given us any pause so far. He's really in tune with his body. I think he's in the training room. He has his program. So knock on wood, we feel pretty good about it, and there's no plans right now to kind of really rein him in.
I feel like you traded for a very serious, hardworking guy. Will that, after coming off a major, I don't want to say major injury because it was a broken bone pretty much, but after coming off of what was considered a very disappointing 2019 where he didn't pitch for the first time in a long time, I'm really excited to see his first outing here in spring training. And I do think it's important that he's touching 92-93 in that game. Velocity speed is so overrated, but when you're coming off of something that when you were in AAA ready to come back and help your team make a playoff push and you weren't able to do it because you were throwing the ball 86, 87 miles an hour,
yep,
then now that's a major difference in 92-95 to 86, 87. So if in this first outing we get reports back that he was throwing the ball in the high 80s, that will be concerning. But from what John Daniels is telling us, and right now we can only go off of what he's saying, is every check mark is there for him to be back to 2018 Corey Kluber.
By the way, Mike, I don't know how we missed this. He was 2014 Cy Young winner.
Right,
also.
Yeah, he's a two-time Cy Young winner. Okay. I just
you didn't want to count that. You wanted the most recent
stuff. That's so far away. Okay. It's like talking about
that's the mentality,
Madison,
though.
Right.
He's always been a smart pitcher.
But I usually don't like going back that far, because like Madison Bumgarner was the best pitcher in baseball in 2015.
Right.
2015 is a long time ago, you know, where Madison Bumgarner is. So I don't like, especially with pitchers, going back to what they were doing 5 years ago. Because also Dez Bryant was good at football 5 years ago.
What a drive-by.
A Cowboy topic, we're hoping that Dez Bryant is 2015 Dez Bryant.
And during,
it's a long time ago.
During the Detroit series, during the ALCS, Nelson Cruz was phenomenal.
That's a long time ago.
But in game six.
All right.
Like, literally, I've been on the show 9 days now, and that's you're 9 for 9. Does he do it every show?
Yes, pretty much. Like,
I just find the right time. I will point out that JD said this morning that his kid has never fully forgiven him for not bringing Nelson Cruz back.
What?
Yeah, his kid just has not fully forgiven him for that moment.
You know, that's so – it's funny that he said that, but what really – if Nelson Cruz wouldn't have had the drug suspension
– uh-huh.
I'm pretty sure they would have brought him back. I think that made them so mad and then not sure exactly what he was going to be after that.
Yeah.
That he actually became better.
Yeah. Well,
he's been better since he left the Texas Rangers, and he was good with the Texas Rangers.
It was funnier, though, because RJ goes, "Have you fully forgiven Nelly?" And he just kind of laughed about it and was like, "No, not really."
Yeah. Never.
All right. On top of that, though, Mike, with Corey Kluber.
Yeah,
for me, he's the pitcher I'm excited about.
Right.
Should he get the opening day start? I don't know when you start deciding this, and this seems a little early, but you have three quality pitchers, and either one of them could take the bump opening day.
You want to know by the 16th of March, and the reason that date is important this year is that the 26th of March is opening day in Seattle.
Okay.
So that's your first game isn't at home, but you want your guys – to start and your pitching coach to start setting up the last 10 days of spring training, the day you're going to pitch in spring training, kind of matching with the day that you're going to pitch in the major league. So you get to that every fifth day routine that you have and that you're setting yourself up for. I feel good pitching on the 26th because I threw on the 21st. Or okay. Maybe you give them an extra day. Maybe they threw on the 20th or whatever.
But you
don't want them, obviously, throwing on let's see if I'm trying to do the dates right. Throwing on the 16th or 17th. Let's just say throwing on the 17th. And then you're kind of like, oh, well, how much do we throw you in this? So you kind of start getting it set up at least 10 days before opening day. And I'm going to be interested to see. There's two opening days for the Rangers this year. If you open up at your home place, yes, you can have another opening day on the road because you could set up where 6 days later you're actually playing opening day somewhere where you never really planned that you were playing opening day. But for the Rangers, This is very important because you're opening a brand new stadium for the first time. So who threw the first pitch at the ballpark in Arlington, right? It was Kenny Rogers. We know that. I don't actually know who threw the first pitch in Arlington Stadium because that was before my time. But we'll know these things. In the history of Texas Rangers baseball, this Globe Life Park field is going to be a place where we remember who threw it. And I would say that I would really want, if I was a guy like Mike Minor, like Corey Kluber, I would really want opening day here more than I would want opening day in Seattle.
But theoretically, would it not be the same person?
It could be, because you play four games on the
and
road.
You have the day off.
And then an off day. But usually early on in the year, especially with five veteran starting pitchers, you kind of don't want them missing a start. And then you kind of also don't want to start forcing guys, like you're pitching every fifth day to start the year type of situation.
If that's the case, then my proposal.
All right.
You start Corey Kluber opening day.
In Seattle.
All right. Because he's theoretically your most talented pitcher.
Okay.
And then you start Mike Minor.
The fifth day?
Fifth day. I know, which is super weird. Starter. But I start him opening day here in Texas as a reward and a thank you because I know that you care.
Here's my theory. All right. You start Mike Minor on the road, and then you get Corey Kluber to start here, a hometown boy. And then the way it goes from there, Kevin, is now you have righty Corey Kluber, lefty Mike Minor, righty Lance Lynn, in those three. Now the following two guys are all righties too, so it kind of really doesn't matter. But at least you break up the righty lefty situation when you come back with your number one, number two back to back.
It's going to be really interesting on how they do this because of two opening days. And the one being so important, opening up the new stadium. And I can look at it this way. Corey Kluber only threw 34 innings last year. And I know that they said they don't want to have kid gloves on him as long as he keeps hitting the checkpoints that they need him to hit. And so far early on in spring training, he's hitting them. But if I start him on the fifth game of the year, and I know it's not going to work out this way because guys are going to miss starts, so you're going to give him an extra day rest. But theoretically, in 162 games, if you were to have a five-man rotation that stayed healthy the whole time, which won't happen, is that the number one and number two starting pitcher would get the one extra start. And I know we do this in the lineup because the lineup, you can say, hey, most likely we're going to give them off days. But over a 162-game season, if I bat them second instead of batting them third, I'm going to get them 20 more at-bats. Yeah. If I bat them second instead of batting them fourth, I'm going to get 32 more at-bats. And so those extra at-bats maybe mean something throughout a position player batting second instead of batting fourth. When it comes to pitchers, really, you're not going to get, just because I pitched first or second, you're not going to get that extra start. But theoretically, you could say, I can somewhat protect Corey Kluber a little bit in his innings since he didn't throw many last year by starting the fifth game of the season rather than the first game.
There's a lot.
And especially, could they go first game, fifth game?
Yeah.
Like, if they really wanted to.
I do think they could. And then you go Minor then, right?
Absolutely.
I would reward Minor for being an all-star last year, for Chris Woodward being a first-year manager, for saying, hey, what you did, not only for yourself and your career, but for me, the way that you pitched throughout the whole season, and I know he had a really tough July, is I would say I'm rewarding you by being the opening day starter at home for the first ever game in our new park. But will he go, we're opening with opening day starter on the road and the same guy, or will he say, I'm going to reward two different guys because I want Corey Kluber to feel like you can be the Cy Young. You can be the ace that you were from 2014 to 2018. You were one of the best, sometimes the best pitcher in the American League. And I want you to feel like you are an ace. And by you feeling that way, I'm making sure that you're starting one of these opening days too.
I wanted to add this piece of audio too, Kevin, because I think it'll make you smile. All right. Sean asked, has there been overkill covering the Astros cheating scandal? And this is what JD said.
I mean, I enjoyed it a little bit. You know, not going to lie. I think speak for 29 teams there. No, I mean, it's a big deal, you know? I mean, it's a big deal. I think it was a little, some of the stuff you hear, the crazy players getting death threats. I mean, that's obscene.
Yeah.
You know, people need to get
a life.
Yeah,
right.
Get a hang of it. Whatever the phrase is, they need to figure it out. Like, that's
what?
You can't be doing that. I mean, they cheated. It's wrong, but like, that's not the scale of the appropriate response. But at the same time, like, it is a big deal. I mean, I when we lost in 11, like, the Cardinals didn't cheat, I don't think, right? I had no reason to think so. But, like, if we found out afterwards that they did, like, be pissed.
You know?
It changed people's lives. It changed people's careers. It changed everybody around the club, the fans. It's a major deal. And so, you know, to the degree that it literally affected the outcome of the World Series or maybe even them getting there, I mean, it's a big deal, and I think it's been covered appropriately.
All right. I like that answer, but was that really what he wanted to
dude,
say?
He didn't know. He was busy watching somebody steal a base or something.
Okay, but yes, no, I also
he's all of us.
I'm very happy that he's enjoying the Astros and them getting harassed and go down in flames and get hit every single day. By the way, you might want to revisit that will they get plunk the most bet that we threw out there. They could get like 12 to 1 on your money. It's looking pretty good. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. Does blowing off KNC put you on the wrong path in life? We'll talk about it next right here on The Fan.
All right, before we do that, I want to give you this sweet deal from DFW Security to secure your home or office building. DFW Security has smart cameras to make your home or your business the smartest of all. DFW Security's video analytics service powered by Alarm.com uses artificial intelligence to make sense of what your cameras see in real time. It can tell whether an object is a person, animal, or a vehicle. I've given you the examples, but really what's important today is to tell you, you need to get in on this deal because it's almost the end of February. Today is the 27th, and you pretty much have today or tomorrow to get this done, because if you call right now at 888-507-2344, you mention my name, Mike, or 105.3 The Fan, you're going to get free professional installation and free equipment. All you pay is the first month of service to get started, and you get 2 months free. You get 2 months free, free professional installation, free equipment. All you pay is the first month of service to get started, and this is probably going away. So you have today and tomorrow to get this done. Your special is going to be the DFW Security Smart Camera Special powered by Alarm.com. You're going to get a smart home hub with security. You're going to get four smart cameras, including the doorbell camera with video analytics, for less than $2 a day. And you're going to get the free professional installation, the free equipment, the free 2 months. All you have to pay to get started is the first month. This is a great deal at 888-507-2344. You have today and tomorrow to get this done, to get your appointment. 888-507-2344. It's limited availability on getting this. So give them a call at 888-507-2344 and get your appointment today with DFW Security.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, we try to do this every single day. Get the best headlines from around the NFL. Drop them right in your lap on a silver platter with some gridiron gravy. Take it away, Kevin.
And we start by bouncing back to the combine. Couple of defensive linemen. Tackle from Texas A&M, Justin Madubuike, says that he has interviewed with the Dallas Cowboys. And then Marlon Davidson said he met with the Cowboys. That's the defensive lineman from Auburn. And he said, quote, "I like everything about the Cowboys." End
really?
Quote. So just if you wanted a couple of names, there you go. Now let's move to potential players on the move. I find this to be a preposterous statement. Jeff Darlington from ESPN said, quote, "I'm now at the point where I would be stunned if Tom Brady went back to New England."
All right.
Really? You'd be stunned if he went back to New England?
The reason he's saying that is he is completely convinced
that he's going to leave.
That he is excited about free agency. He wants to be a free agent. He wants the, hey, man, because he's never been, courted.
Yes.
In this way before. So he wants to experience this process and see what other teams actually think of him. Because, Kevin, he's been brainwashed in New England for his entire career that everything that they say is the only way that it should be done. So he's brainwashed. So what if he gets out there and the Raiders are like, oh, here are all these things? And he's like, holy crap.
Well, he's also trying to brainwash people that he has a water that can cure concussions. Don't ever forget
TB12.
That Tom Brady is a scumbag.
Oh.
Yeah. If you sell fake medical products, I'm sorry. I think you're a bad person.
I think he's going to be surprised at the lack of interest through financial, like, years
Raiders,
and money. Because
Raiders have already said 2 for $60.
Yeah.
It seems perfect.
By the way, word is that the Patriots haven't reached out to him yet, which is odd.
Well, I mean, that would go to kind of the theory of the second half of the season, that they felt like the wide receiver they drafted, N'Keal Harry, wasn't that bad, that picking up Mohamed Sanu, that if we got a guy more in his prime, that those guys would shine more than what Tom Brady had them. They look like crap.
The reason they haven't reached out to him is because Bill Belichick runs the GM's office, all right? And Bill Belichick is busy watching Middle Tennessee State University defensive ends in the rain.
Tyshawn Render. Yeah. I mean, that guy wasn't even invited to the combine, right? Surely his draft stock goes up when Belichick's like, I kind of want that guy.
Did you see him? Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen. They want some person in the sixth round, and they're like, yeah, let me just go make an appearance so people think this guy should be a third rounder, and that'll push this guy down to us that we're going to get in the sixth.
He's a diabolical genius.
He's so smart.
Now, the people who might not be as smart are the Colts, because they're like, we don't like Jacoby Brissett anymore. We should probably move on to Phillip Rivers.
Mm.
So word is that the Colts want to go track down Phillip Rivers. Do they think that is the key?
So here's the thing with Phillip Rivers. He is not need a change of scenery guy. All right. He is on last leg guy. That's what's going on with him. And he's always been the same kind of quarterback throughout his entire career. But he's not just, hey, a change of scenery is going to do him good.
If you had to give a one-year contract, if you're the Colts or the Raiders and you're just looking for, we want to make the playoffs next
Brady.
Year. Okay, that's Brady over Rivers?
Yes.
I would say so, too.
Yes.
What would you say, Corey, right now?
I would take Brady. The decision making alone, and I think physically they're even, but the decision making alone is what I'd rather have.
Shippy, I have huge earth shattering news for you.
I think I know what this is.
Per Brandon Stokely, Peyton Manning has begun to mentor Drew Locke.
We are Mizzou.
Is there anything that can stop the meteoric rise of Drew Locke to NFL stardom now?
Hell no.
There you have it.
Honestly,
gentlemen.
Peyton Manning mentoring him might, you know,
do you think
hurt
Drew,
his development.
Do you think Drew Locke is mentoring
so
Peyton
good.
Manning?
Yeah, he is. He said, hey, let me show you something. Here's how you own some Papa John's, and here's how you throw a football.
Yeah.
I'm Drew Locke. Out.
There's no way Drew Locke is mentoring.
You don't know
Were
that.
You on the phone call?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Do not use my own logic against me.
I just used Corey logic. One of my favorite things ever, because it happened at spring training, he was asking me about a license plate, and he was like, do you think it's from such and such? And I was like, I don't think so, because of I gave like some well-thought-out explanation, and Corey goes, have you been to all the cities? That was his question, and I was like,
that's a good question. Yeah.
That is a terrible question,
but
although it did work, because I was like, no, I have not.
That question's undefeated.
Let's go to Aaron Rodgers, who had the best.
Are we done with Drew Locke yet? Or?
Yes.
No,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
We're done with Drew Locke
make sure
for now.
All right.
Or whatever you called him. We're done with Drew Locke for now. Let's go back
I got my words mixed up.
Aaron Rodgers, who gave, I thought, a really well thought out reason for why he voted no, because he's the team representative and the 17-14-1 split to send it along down the line.
This was very well thought out.
He said his decision to vote no was based off conversations I had with the men in my locker room that I'm tasked to represent. So essentially, he said the majority of people in that locker room said they were against it. And as the team representative, he did not just take his own personal feelings. He took a vote and the temperature of the team, and that was his vote.
And that's the way that it should be.
Absolutely.
I mean, like, that's the guy that's representing them. No matter how he feels or what his status is with that, he needs to make sure that he represents the entire group. The democracy of it is very important to what, like, you got to make sure, Kevin, that whatever the popular vote is, you use that first.
Okay. What are you doing now?
What?
politics.
No, I was talking about what's popular right, amongst man. The NFL.
I can't believe I didn't know that was about to happen. Well played. Less well played by Trayvon Boykin. I have a theory that his life really started to fall apart at the Super Bowl in Houston.
Oh, man.
When he no-showed KNC because, as his agent told us, he couldn't find a parking spot.
That's when we realized, man.
We've all been there, though.
Sure.
I have. Sure. I mean, I have.
But unfortunately for Boykin, his life would get much, much worse, and he would make some terrible, terrible decisions. He is sentenced to 3 years in jail yesterday after pleading guilty to aggravated assault, causing serious bodily injury, and tampering with a witness. This
You've
all
got a night in the clink coming up.
Yeah, it's going to be more than that, and probably deservedly so. He was accused of domestic violence by his girlfriend back in 2018, and it was alleged that he broke her jaw. That is what got him released from the Seahawks, and just you hope he gets his life together and realizes that, my God.
You know, we talked about that yesterday.
Yeah.
About the, you know, how good do you have to be for somebody to say, oh, well, that's fine. And we've seen players do worse, right?
Sure.
Or as bad.
Yeah.
And stick around with
teams.
I know
a prominent NFL player who stabbed one of his teammates with a pair of scissors.
You don't know that.
What?
You don't know that for sure.
Yeah. He gets on lots of media attention all the time. Guys, I have bad news for you, Corey. On the franchise tag front, kind of figured this would happen, but word is per Ian Rappaport that the Chiefs will use their franchise tag on Chris Jones. The shocking move to swoop in and take the Cowboys punter with their franchise tag. I don't even know how that's possible.
Do you remember that 18-yard punt he had?
It's a different Chris Jones, obviously.
Did you see that quote? And maybe this is going to be an entire segment at some point, but if that's the case, do you think they have a good feeling of where their negotiation with Patrick Mahomes might go? Because
yes, and I do like. I think you should read the quote, but I want to do an entire segment on this because I think this is a great perspective.
All right, Mike. So Matt Verder.
Well, this is a
reporter with a blue
start.
Check next to his name, right?
So
he's got a blue check, so it's important.
Let's just say it was Drew Lock.
Spoke with Patrick Mahomes' agent Lee Steinberg this morning.
Yeah,
I joked about extension being easiest of his career. Steinberg made point of getting Mahomes what he deserves while ensuring Chiefs can maintain a good roster. Quote from Lee Steinberg, quarterback greatness is judged by Super Bowls.
I hear that, but if I think that the discount will be, I will take under $40 million.
That would be a huge discount for him, right?
Yeah, but I mean, I do think that
sure.
It will be like, I will, to discount you guys, I could probably ask for $42 or $43 million and get it. I will do $38.5 million per year with a lot of it guaranteed, which will be the biggest contract in NFL history, which will be tough to break for a year or two, but I would say that that's going to be his discount. Not, I'm going to take what Carson Wentz got. If somebody's thinking that he's going to do that.
But if you're the Chiefs and like the best player in football is like, I'll give you $5 million off. You're like, sweet.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you guys this. When it comes to Chris Jones and the Dallas Cowboys, let's just say the report came out today. We're not going to franchise Chris Jones because we can't afford to do it. Do you think the Cowboys would actually be a competitive bidder?
No.
Unfortunately, no.
I think they should.
I'm with you guys. I think that really we're franchise tagging them. Oh, no, for Cowboy fans. I think the way that Stephen Jones has talked, the way that we're, what would you say, 80% sure or even more on Byron Jones going to another team?
Yeah, I'm like 90%.
Is that if they're not even going to consider making competitive offers to Byron Jones, then I just can't imagine that they were going to get in some sort of Chris Jones bidding war.
Yeah. No, I'm inclined to believe you on that. A couple of interesting quarterback notes here, I guess positional notes here, because we'll start with a wide receiver. San Francisco 49ers Kyle Shanahan said they might trade Marquise Goodwin this offseason. It's funny.
Because he's too fast.
Well, yeah, he goes, we wouldn't release him. He's too valuable. But then went on to say we would trade him. So just keep an eye on Marquise Goodwin. Could be a player.
He's a valuable trade commodity.
Yeah,
not a valuable
person on the team.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, so that's Rowlett's own right there. And then for the Redskins, they're holding meetings with Joe Burrow and Tua. Now, Ron Rivera went out of his way to say this was not due diligence. He said, look, all options are on the table. And that's interesting because he didn't draft Dwayne Haskins. So I kind of think when you start a new regime, unless you're the Cowboys, that you have the opportunity to get out from previous things that you don't want.
I also think both here. I think that they could take Tua T. But I also think they're doing this to say, if you think you have to trade to number three to get Tua T, you might need to trade to number two. You might need to get us out of the way because we're considering it. And so it just makes now teams go, hey, instead of trading to three, we might have to trade to number two.
Couple more quick combine notes for you. 46 different players asked to be worked out at multiple positions during the combine. So
one of them was Jalen Hurts.
He asked for it?
No, he
was not. No, 46 players are like, yep, we'll do that. And then Ben Bartsch, a Division III football player. He's 6'6", 308 pounds from St. John's University in Minnesota. He added 70 pounds to move to offensive tackle. One of the ways he did that is this shake every single morning. 7 scrambled eggs, cottage cheese, quick grits, peanut butter, bananas, and Gatorade.
Ugh.
He said he threw it all in the blender, plugged his nose, and sometimes he would gag, but that's what you have to do.
Can't you just sit down and eat that?
Yeah, why can't you just eat those things individually?
Why did he have to put it in a shake, dude?
Scrambled eggs is good. Grits are good.
Yeah.
You can eat them individually.
Yeah.
Wash it down with a Gatorade.
Maybe he's really busy. He's like, I don't have time to eat this ginormous meal. I just got to chug a weird shake.
Eating that right now.
Yeah.
His metabolism's so high since he got on soda that he has to keep weight on.
Yeah. Might not be true. But I am eating right now.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, Mike McCarthy tries to convince all of us with his pretty words that the Cowboys can win it all. Are you buying it? Talk about it next right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.